Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to the attention of humanity that is suited to its needs at that particular time. Usually, this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces is in decline, and as our solar system moves more into alignment with the constellation of Aquarius, new energies begin to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly, and chaos ensues as the old order begins to crumble to make way for the impulse of sharing, justice, and peace for all.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our program this morning. The Dutch author Gerard Artsen writes about the Space Brothers and UFOs. In his books and observations, he discusses the sciences in our educational systems on this planet. Our Space Brothers' observation is that we have an imbalance leaning towards material science, at the detriment of both social and spiritual science in our life structures. In this program this morning, we offer background to the spiritual science of building the Antahkarana, connecting each of us to our soul. As we become more soul-like in our focus, our activities, our societies, I beg your pardon, follow suit. Then we'll continue with an article about the education of the future. Let's start with a message from the Master of Wisdom. As we near the beginning of a new era, the thoughts of men turn to the sky and the possibilities which exist for future travel between the planets. Already, instruments probe deep into space, gathering the information which may throw light on the nature of the system in which we live. Men's thoughts turn upwards and outwards for the first time. This concern is new for man. Seldom before has his thought reached further than his own half, restricting his vision of the vast scope of cosmos which awaits his exploration. At the same time, new discoveries about the nature of life itself are awakening men to the need for an outer expression of the unity which they now know underlies our universe. Already, vast sums are spent annually to ensure the excess of these explorations, and much dedication and valor contribute to their achievements. Thus, we stand today on the verge of an era of new knowledge, broader concepts, wider horizons, and a richer experience than aught known before. At precisely such a time has entered the new teacher. His will be the task to enlarge even further these horizons for man, to show that all is interconnected, that we live within a family as brothers, and that each contributes to the well-being of the whole. Thus man will come to sense himself as an integral unit in a vast system which stretches to the stars, as a tiny point of conscious, loving life without which the universe would be poorer. Thus man will come to see his greatness and his function in an endless scheme of interrelated points of light and energy and knowledge. The first step is to accept that all is one, that underlying the diversity of forms beats the heart of the one divine life. When mankind grasps this truth, there will emerge a civilization based upon that truth, which will carry man to the feet of divinity itself. From that holy place will Man will see the glories until then hidden from his gaze and come to know himself as the God he is. A new divine science will become his. Through its means, man will harness the energies of the universe for his diverse needs and transform and beautify this earth. As custodians of this science, we, the masters of wisdom, will reveal its secrets stage by stage as man equips himself correctly for its use. Then the gateway to the heavens will open and man will find himself on a journey without end. The cosmos near and far will be the subject of his research. Infinity will beckon him on, ever onwards, and test his valor. A new stream of thought is entering men's lives, which will galvanize them into action. A new creative potency will manifest itself on all sides, and in gathering momentum, the secrets of life will be discovered and revealed. Man stands now on the threshold of great things. Marvels await his astonished gaze. The limitations of the past will soon lose their hold and free him to explore the cosmos and himself. When man sees the universe and himself as one, all things become possible. And that was from March 1988. The following is a short excerpt from Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3 by Benjamin Krem. And it's the building of the Antakarana, the science of building the bridge between the lower and higher man, essentially the science of mind. There are two major threads which connect the spark of God, the monad, through the soul with the man or woman in incarnation. One, the Sutratma, the thread of life, is anchored in the heart. It comes directly from the monad, reflected through the soul, and is fixed in the right center, is fixed in the heart center at the right side of the body. It is reflected through that etheric center to the physical heart and into the bloodstream, which, as you know, is the purifying stream carrying the energy of life to all parts of the body. While the life blood is pumped correctly through the body and kept free of poisons, the physical body displays all its abilities and accuracy of movement and expression. So too, the astro-emotional body and the mental body are dependent on the Sutratma for their existence and correct function. There is another thread called the Antakarana. This thread is anchored in the center of the head. And through these two threads, the threefold expression, monad, soul, and physical plane man or woman, live their lives. These two threads inform in a downward flow, bridging the gaps between firstly the monad and soul, and secondly between the soul and its reflection on the physical plane, the man or woman. Eventually, a third thread, the thread of creativity, is built by the man or woman on the physical plane through the interaction of soul energy and eventually through monadic energy. And this is through the physical apparatus on the physical plane. These three threads wound together eventually produce the bridge between the three levels of existence. The future science of the Antakarana will concern itself with this, the path of return. This will be the new age education. Individuals will be recognized for what they are, souls in incarnation. Their point in evolution and race structure will be ascertained and known, and through this science, the gaps between the various levels of our being will be bridged. This is only possible now that the human race has reached the present state, and of course, because of the return to the everyday world of the only people in the world who actually know this science, the Masters of Wisdom. Since the Masters are returning, this will become an exoteric science, and all children from the earliest age up until 28 years old will eventually go through this process of education in the science of life, the science of building the return pathway or channel. So the Antakarana is the bridge built, first out of mental matter and later out of light, by the evolving aspirant, disciple, and initiate in turn. Until a certain time, the connection between the man or woman and the soul plane is developed by the control of mentation, the energy of the mental body. It brings the mental body under control and the thought patterns create a bridge. The antikarana is therefore, in the first place, the bridge connecting the lower man, the lower mind, with the soul, and then the lower mind through the soul with the higher mind, which is the lower aspect of the spiritual triad, or the spark of God. And you can find more information about the antikarana and the sutratma in Mr. Krem's books. Our next article is an education article based on natural development. Céline Alvarez, a young teacher working in France, decided to try a new experiment to find new approaches in the education systems and demonstrate their effectiveness. She was wondering whether she could foster a happy relationship to learning starting in kindergarten. She revised the institutions that Maria Montessori built and drew on recent discoveries from neuroscience. Neuroscience tells us the human brain is organized for learning and loving with ease and pleasure, but it needs the right fuel. A child's brain develops through the free exploration of a rich environment and benign interaction with others. The child learns better when he discovers an attractive and reassuring universe while being supported individually. When those principles are followed, his faculties develop naturally without resistance. And this article is by Chantal Pigeneau, The Best Potential for Learning. Between 3 and 5 years of age, the brain is at its best potential for learning due to the fact that it has an unconditioned mental and neural capacity. Knowledge is built, as well as the capacities of concentration, memory, autonomy, self-control, self-esteem, and the ability to recognize others. Alvarez started her new position in 2009, applying to the Ministry of Education for her project. She was given an experimental class, and the results would be studied scientifically. The class was in a kindergarten in Gennevilliers in Paris. It was located in a priority education area, which was considered a problem area. She got the equipment she needed and a full-time assistant, financed by a voluntary association. At the beginning, her pupils' parents were distrustful. She had no toys and no dolls in the classroom. Instead, there were educational workshops with sensory-stimulating equipment inspired by the Montessori method. The children also circulated freely in the classroom and could get together. The activities offered were fun, meaningful, and challenging. Each child explored independently what he or she was interested in through workshops, coming and going, learning at their own pace. The teacher and assistant were there to accompany, show, and explain, always with kindness. The initiative came from the child. The adult was there simply to provide support. In this way, learning was possible without unnecessary tension and with natural concentration. The two adults were always mindful of their own behavior and use of language in order to cultivate calmness and respect. Three age groups worked in the same classroom. The more advanced taught the younger children what they had already learned. Each child gave and received support and counseling. Each class was an opportunity to exchange in a spirit of respect and conviviality, creating a warm and lively, inclusive environment. The project was a success. After a few months, parents were surprised by the progress that their children in various fields, self-confidence, sociability, and autonomy had made. Children participated spontaneously in their homes and became more involved and happy, most of them being more responsible. The test showed that progress made over the first 6 months was better than expected. Pupils with learning disabilities ended up outperforming the average students in their age group. Even better, most students in their second year of preschool were reading well ahead of their time. They learned without pressure in a spontaneous way. To satisfy the children's thirst for reading, the class borrowed books from the city's libraries, which pupils could take home. Celine Alvarez had her experiment validated by a research team from the Grenoble National Center for Scientific Research. In addition, independent psychologists monitored the children's development. They stated that the children who developed to a very advanced level were perfectly healthy for their age. The atmosphere in the classroom was relaxed and focused, and as a consequence, interactions respectful and empathetic. The children's attitude was evident in their involvement in their own development. Through this experiment, this young teacher showed that the dynamic of failure could be changed if the child was accompanied and supported throughout his or her path of discovery. In 2012, official support for the project was terminated. Alvarez was no longer able to officially test pupils, but continued in secret, with the parents' permission. She continued at the school for 3 years, eventually resigning, having gained enough proof for her experiment to be shared. She went on to create a blog, to train teachers, and to publish a book, sharing the foundations of this approach. Her objective was to combine school with scientific research to update the Montessori pedagogy using recent discoveries in neuroscience and make it accessible for all. Her experience shows us that it is possible to awaken the best in each of us given an appropriate environment and right guidance. This experience is offered not as a miracle cure-all, but rather as a deep modification of the way we see a child, based on offering him or her a high-quality environment and instilling in them confidence and a sense of security and support. In this way, school becomes a place of total or holistic education, awakening the child's mental faculties and apprenticeship to happy living in society. Now, we have a comment from the master through Benjamin Krem, and this is dated July 2016. The present situation will soon turn for the better. The storm is nearly over. It is losing its intensity, even if we do not as yet recognize it. Turmoil is almost always the result of the change from one cosmic state to another. Many people are still enmeshed in the old ways. Many people are too worried or too unaware to recognize the need for another way of acting and being. It is also a question of how humanity responds to the new energies. Most of the response is based on greed or fear. The wealthy have become independent and very greedy. They are afraid they will not be able to take advantage of everything on offer. They are also afraid of losing their wealth. Men have to realize that the world is one, one humanity. The rich who manage the resources based on greed and competition deny this at their peril. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you want further information, you can write to us at Share International Box 34491 Birkenhead, or look on the website www.share-international.org. Thank you very much. Love and blessings, everyone.